We all need fathers and mothers in the faith. And you can think of people who've influenced your life, people who've impacted your life. And my own dad came to faith when I was probably in my teens. And when I say came to faith, he came into a spirit-filled life, which kind of, it really shook our household. Because suddenly he became very huggy and very lovey, and I didn't really know what to do, you know. But he was a man of prayer. He even had like a little room that he had called like a sanctuary, a place where he could draw aside, and he called it the secret place. And he used to draw into that place, and he was a man who prayed me into the kingdom. So I want to honor his memory, and that he was a persevering, praying man. And I love him for that, you know. I loved him for the way that he just spent time with his father, and it reflected in our lives and the grandchildren and all the others, extended family. It was a blessing. I had a spiritual dad that's been in this church, Ray Oliver. Many of you know him. When I was a young guy, single, pretty wild and woolly, I had a big beard. He risked on me. He brought me on staff of the church, and I'd just come back from a prayer journey in Turkey, and I had some pretty radical ideas, and I was pretty gung-ho and zealous, and he invested in me, and he was just such a wise man, you know, just line and length, just seeing him with the ordering of God and the steps of God and helping others take those steps, and somebody to look up to, a role model. And so I think from today's thing around fathers, I think 7 quality every dad should aspire to be protective, to be affectionate, and encouraging, gentle. Sorry, sorry, Joey. Sorry, the children's church this morning, I forgot to mention. And also I forgot the tithes, but I'm sure we're going to have time at the end to celebrate and worship some more. After we've set apart some leaders this morning. And I think the gentleness, you were talking about some of the qualities of Father God, and stable. I think just to be, you know, where you stand, and then also faithful to God. That's probably the biggest quality or the biggest thing I think we should aspire to. And the only thing on the planet that Jesus died for is for people. And the only thing that he's building today is the church on this planet. The only thing he's building. There's nothing else on the planet in which God dwells but his people. Those who've trusted in his blood and to wash them. And that's Dudley Daniels, who was a great leader of leaders. He said that. And I, when we look at leadership, you kind of think of the story where village and some tourists were passing through this village, and they struck up a conversation with the people, and they said, "Were any great people born in this village?" And the people said, "Nope, just babies." Just babies. Yeah. And are leaders born or are they made? Well, I think they're born and then they're made. You know, leaders aren't just born with leadership all over their lives. There is a gift of leadership. I'm not denying that. But particularly spiritual leadership is something that Jesus walked for 30 years with his father before he came into ministry. I mean, he didn't have a huge amount of influence in the carpenter shop other than maybe a few clients, customers. But he was hearing what his father's was on his father's heart and his father's will, and he only did what he saw the father doing. And out of that place, he had a will to reach, but he just heard what his father was saying, and he just ordered his steps accordingly. My daughter and son are at CFS. Many of you know that, and also Tony's younger son. And so, for them, there's this thing about equipped to serve. It's a new syllabus that they're bringing in, and I think even the education department, I don't know if you call it that, are looking in at this new syllabus that equipped to serve. Because that's a kingdom thing, friends. That's not a world thing. That's a kingdom thing. And so that's each part doing its part. when I look at Abigail, she went to play her first hockey match at, I think it's the Unifields. Well, it's near the Tesco there. And they arrived and Formby was already kind of set up on their team from Formby. They were there on the pitch. And the next minute they had started. It was like, I don't know if the ref just said, look, just wait. But the next minute they were playing. And Abby's team hadn't actually discussed who was playing in what position. So for the first half, it was like one-way traffic. 4-0. It was like, because they didn't know which position, who was playing. Nobody was leading. Nobody was playing. And then the second half, they must have had a little interval and a little half time. And they discussed, okay, you play here, you play there, you play the back. And then they actually won the second half 2-1. It's just, for me, there was a lesson that God was showing right there, is that we've got to be in position. We've got to be placed where God wants us. And otherwise, we all tend to be trying to do and chase after things and not really knowing that which God has called us to. Mother Teresa said, I can do things you cannot, and you can do things that I cannot, but together we can do great things. That's the value of partnerships and team and team. Together, everyone achieves more. So I look at today, the head and shoulders gifted ministry is over. You know, that kind of one-man ministry model, one-lady ministry model. I the day of superstars or super saints, I don't have faith for that. I do know God gifts people at certain times to impact greatly. But team is so much more effective. The best soccer player, the best football player in the world, if he played against an under 10 team of 10 players, wouldn't have a chance, as long as they knew how to pass. it just shows even the best of the best cannot be the answer. And that's unfortunately been a lot of the history in church history, is that you elevate men and then, or leaders, and then there's a cork in the bottle because everyone just thinks, well, my role is to come sit up, shut up, pay up, whatever. and that's all I'm expected to do, is just kind of. And actually, God's got every one of us has a role. Every one of us has a part. Each one to do his part. And every supporting ligament in the body. No part of the body indispensable or dispensable. Yeah, whatever. You know, no part of the body. You can't cut your finger off and say you don't need that part. You could, but you're going to suffer. You're going to feel less. So it's the priesthood, the mobilizing of the priesthood. And so Paul writes to timid Timothy. He's not your head and shoulders kind of guy. I mean, he says, God's not given you a spirit of timidity, or he's not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. He's exhorting him. Actually, you know, yes, you're quite frail, you're quite sickly. I don't know if he was a mommy's boy. But anyway, I don't want to take too much license. And maybe, you know, he just take a little bit of wine, man. Maybe it was port. I don't know. But just fortify him a little bit and get him on the road, get him up and going. And right. And that's not advocating overdoing it, but I'm just saying that actually, just get on with the job. You can do it, you know, fan into flame. Come on. I believe in you. You're able to do it. And he was a bit of a reluctant leader. I think I'm a little bit of a reluctant leader. I certainly at school wasn't recognized in a leadership capacity, whereas Bibi was. She was the deputy head girl. She was the firstborn. Maybe it's about being, I was fifth born, last born. Maybe it's all about birth order. Maybe that's it. But she was like, you know, first out the starting blocks. And so she, you know, we had her little sisters to boss around. No, just kidding. But yeah, so and so when I look at leadership, it's about influencing people to go somewhere where they wouldn't ordinarily go. That's leadership. That's one of the definitions of leadership. And people have said, you know, if you say you're a leader and there's nobody following, well, then you're just going out for a walk. So, but it's simply taking steps and helping others take those steps. A biblical leader is any willing person, man or woman, having been appointed, anointed, and enabled by God, who will lead God's people with faith, hope, and love, and by example, having heard what God is saying and showing. So it's just, well, follow me as I follow Christ. This is what I feel God saying. Let's go. And so Moses was a bit like that. God sets him apart and says, go out to set some in the community, to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and one who will bring them in. So the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. There's leadership right there. And so what do you lead people out of? Well, you lead people out of darkness into light. You lead people out of unbelief into faith, out of sin into right standing with God, out of wandering, you know, in the desert for 40 years. Well, you want to lead them in a direction purposefully, out of the Old Testament or Old Covenant into the new, into that which is out of legalism, into grace, out of brokenness into healing, as Myra's saying. You know, out of a place of being in eternal condemnation into being one who's embracing eternal life. And it's probably out of anything that's ungodly into all that is of God. Out of seeking to please self into doing that which pleases Him, pleasing the Father, being Father pleases. And this is a little disclaimer in 2 Corinthians. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Not by the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It's God enabling, divine enablement. So it's about serving, about carrying responsibility and calling. It's not about position and it's not about title. That's why I even reluctantly even want, but Bible does use the word elders, deacons, and saints. And so those should be evident in every church. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. And this is a verse, and then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, maybe you can bring it up in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 7. Are you able to do that, Pete? It's 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 7. Or you could look it up in your Bibles. It's good to bring Bibles to church, even if they're digital. But yeah, Jed got 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 7. Jed's got the Wi-Fi, so he's busy on his phone. Can bring your phone and you can, as long as you're not doing the social media thing. Just, yeah. And you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. But rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. So there's a setting apart of deacons, recognizing the call of God and the leadership role that they're already exercising. You know the word diakonos? It simply means servant or helper or minister. And that's functioning out of a delegated action. And we see that in Acts 6, there was a need in the church, and so they looked at the waiting on tables, really, to make allocation to the widows. And so instead of being waiters, those we needed to wait on the word of God and wait on God in prayer. They said, let us rather delegate this authority to others. And so the authority comes from the anointing and the call of God, and God desires to raise up the ministry of the deacon. He has an anonymous quote. Servant leadership. If serving is below you, then leadership is beyond you. That's quite a nice quote, don't you think? So biblically, we can see deacons being involved in the following. Practical helps. Maintaining godly relationships in the church. Thirdly, exercising oversight in a ministry team or home group or ministry, small group. Or even like Philip and Stephen, where they were given a huge platform and they preached and they were full of the Spirit and full of wisdom and they saw incredible things, even cities. Philip gone to a city. And so I don't want to limit a deacon to somebody who's washing cups. I'm not saying that this morning. I'm just saying actually this is a role that God sees can be huge, can influence cities. So in decision-making, our decision-making can determine our outcome or our destiny. And leadership influences decision-making and even destiny. And I don't know if you would agree with this, but who doesn't want their life to count for eternity? Every one of us wants to leave a mark. I mean, we want to leave a legacy. We want to leave, I mean, actually, we want it to count. And that's to bring God's will and ways, bringing Jesus and his lordship, that Jesus' will be their will, God's will be their will, that his ways will be their ways, that people will follow and serve Jesus. And that's a charge this morning to leaders, is to faithfully administer that which they've been entrusted with, to represent God well at every opportunity. I don't know, have you taken your thought process down this line before? We don't arrive at a chosen long-distance destination by accident. There's a road that needs to be traveled. And fortunately, the road or highway to hell, I think it's more the highway than doesn't the AC/DC, all the fans are there, that is paved with good intentions. Wow, I'm planning to meet God at the 11th hour. But how many people die at 10:30? They never get to make right. They never actually, they just think, well, I'm going to keep on keeping on because I've got enough time and I'll make right when I need to make right. Actually, you don't know. Tomorrow, your day, life could be taken. Today, I mean, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is only a word a fool would use. Tomorrow. That vocabulary is foolish because you don't know if you will have even tomorrow. This is a great statement. Direction, not intention, determines destination. Direction, not intention, determines destination. So if I have an intention to go to London, but I settle for Wales and Holyhead, I'm going to end up, I've got the best intention. Well, you know, it might be the load less traveled and it might be the scenic route, but I'm not going to end up in London. I'm going to end up in the sea, the Irish Sea. You might have great intentions for marriage. You might have the great intentions, but the direction you take as a couple will result in your destination. You've got to invest time into, and it's a deliberate course of action. So romancing, I've got to make an effort. You know what I'm saying? I've got to pull myself up. I do. And it doesn't come naturally. Which guy can say, oh, yeah, or maybe the single guys. Yeah, it comes naturally to me. You may have your best intentions to pass your exams, Emmanuel. Best intentions, but unless you put in the hours and you put in the work, you're not going to come out with the results. You know, your best intentions. Oh, no, but then I'm going to go party and I'm going to go club and I'm going to this and that. And he gave up footy. He gave up footy for a number of weeks because he had to see this thing through. He took a direction and that meant he had to make some choices. You may have an intention to live in financial freedom, but if you're burning the credit card, you're not going to live in financial freedom. Taking holidays, fly now, pay later. I mean, that used to be a big catch saying, fly now, pay later. But that is going to put you in a hole. You know what I'm saying? I want to be financially free. Well, actually, where's your money spent? You know, how are you spending? Maybe sometimes we expect God to do a miracle, and actually we haven't been faithful stewards with that which he's given us. And so it's true spiritually. I think we want to grow spiritually. Our best intentions, we want to grow spiritually. But unless we take a direction of, well, I'm going to work through the Bible, maybe it's over 2 years, or I'm going to have a daily reading plan, or I'm going to set aside a moment and it's going to be, you know, I'm going to try and get to bed by that hour so that I can get up at that hour. Because if I get to bed at that hour, I'll never get up at this hour. And my best intentions, oh, I'm going to have a quiet time. I need to have a quiet time. Oh, I need to go. And you know what I'm saying? It's just like your head's. Throw off the covers. There was a word to the church. Throw off the duvet. Throw off the covers. In other words, you know, it's not the winter woes. We've got no excuse. The sun's up way before us. Tell me about it this morning. Even the birds. So it's how we govern our lives. We sit, setting aside and focusing on time with God, making our lives matter and count for eternity, putting feet to our faith, choices that determine our destination. So when we need direction and help, perhaps when we lost, where do we go? Men, all those guys, we don't ask for directions, not easily anyway. We might ask, Siri? We might ask the sat-nav, or we might ask the Garmin, but we don't normally ask for directions. And that's a failing. It is a failing. And so if we're brutally honest, we don't even like to read the instruction booklet when you get a new appliance. That's not helpful. It's not helpful. So that's Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, 4 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So where do we lean into? Where do we trust? Where do we look to? And so Paul's encouraging Timothy to a direction that would stand the test of time. When he was gone, Timothy would continue in a godly direction. He was going in a direction. He was not a man of intentions. He was a man of purpose and direction. And so people would follow and the gospel would continue. Churches would be planted and the Great Commission would be fulfilled. But I think it starts with any individual saying, I'm willing, follow me as I follow Christ. And so we've got to follow good examples. That direction means following good examples. And for the sake of time, I'm going to go through quite a few of these points quite quickly. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. What's the difference between a guardian and a father? A guardian is dutiful, is fulfilling a duty, an obligation. There's no sense of laying their life and willingly, commitment and actually that belonging. Every father gives identity, security, and belonging. And I could go on a facade thing here about fathering because it seems to be coming up a lot today. And when the absence of that, we don't know who we are. We don't know our identity. We're not secure. We feel orphaned. You mentioned that this morning. And we feel like we don't belong. Jesus needed to hear those words. Here is my son whom I love and whom I'm well pleased. And by virtue of what? By virtue of being a son. He was loved. He was liked. He was pleasing in the Father's sight because he knew he belonged. Not because of any virtue of his own or anything that he had done. So then you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we've got to keep from side roads, disappointment. There are voices that will keep us steady and importantly be a voice that will keep others be steady. And then secondly, just make sure you transmit good, godly things to others so that they can be a transmitter. And trust to reliable, faithful people. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy. Transmitter of godliness. Bring through others. Be spiritual moms. Be spiritual dads. Be an influence in school. Be an influence at uni. Be an influence in the workplace. And I think the sign of true success is not so much of what we've accomplished, but who we've brought through. And even those who've surpassed us. So you look at the soldier. These are those three pictures that Paul uses in this passage. The soldier, the athlete, the hardworking farmer that gets the crop. All three attained. But he starts by saying, join with me, endure with me. Hardship is always part of a successful journey to a destination. Standing against the tide, even in this nation of secularism and humanism and every other ism, postmodernity or relativism. And we've spoken about that in the beginning of the year. So we can dismantle even godly things like marriage in our minds. You know, well, we introduce this as my partner. No, that's my wife. That's my wife. And we've got to start bringing back God instituted marriage. It's God's idea. And who are we to dismantle it? You see, soldiers contend and they fight for what's right. It's like a Caleb saying, give me that mountain. I'm going to, you know, in the Old Testament, there was an older man who was like 80 years old. And he says, no, I'm still as fit as I was 40 years ago. give me that mountain. And he had it. He had that same passion, that same zeal. May we all go out that way. Amen. Climbing Snowdon at 80. Yeah. What do you say, Dawn? We don't want to get entangled with civilian affairs. You know, there's a point at which, if you've ever watched Band of Brothers, where was it Captain Winters? I mean, he arrives and his men are in the ditch and there's a machine gun. He knew, actually, get up, let's go. We can't stay in the ditch. We've got to get this job done. It's not going to be done in the ditch. We've got to get up and go. So if you look at the athlete, they train hours and hours and hours. That's what I would call below the waterline stuff. You know, when you see a ship, if they haven't worked on the lower part of the ship that you don't see, it's going to capsize. And the same with an athlete. They're training when nobody else. I mean, the Rocky movies, you know, when Rocky Balboa, he's out there. And there's some great, great quotes around those. But we don't want storms to capsize us because we haven't put in the deep roots and we haven't put in the hard work, because that brings the faithfulness. I mean, turning the soil. There's a scripture that I love to quote from Hosea 10, verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness and reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground. Break up the clods. Break up the hard soil. Break it up, because it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. Right there is a fruit of labor. You see, just 5 minutes in the will of God makes our whole life worth something. Just 5 minutes. It's like, well, I'm glad I was born. But we can do a lot more. And So I'm going to just flick through quite a few for the sake of time. So what direction is your life taking? Oh, you feel that you're just meandering and wandering. Come back on track. God's calling you to his higher way or his highway. It's really making adjustments, making correction, allowing your heart to be submitted and surrendered to his lordship. And then endorsing and setting apart leaders. That we see in this passage. That's why it's so great that we're working through Timothy. Because there's a laying on of hands. Now, the laying on of hands is a foundation doctrine from Hebrews chapter 6. And we see that it's one of those great foundation doctrines. It's directly connected to the ministry of healing, where there's laying on of hands. It's also directly connected to commissioning, specifically Christian workers, and then strengthens the life of a local church. And that's primarily through two ways. Spiritually, through the impartation of spiritual gifts, which we heard some weeks back about spiritual gifts. And then also through the appointment of deacons and elders and leadership and positions. So I want to trust even this morning for an impartation. And we're going to mention some people this morning, and we're going to come and pray for them. They're going to come up front and we're going to lay hands on them. That they will take hold of everything for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of them. They will run because of that which God's taken hold of them. I remember one guy who came to ordain, a friend of mine, Steve, and he actually grabbed his shirt with both hands, said, take hold, I think it was from the front, take hold of everything for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of you. He was an Irishman. Yeah. Jim Lamont. Yeah. So for every tall building, you've got to have deep foundations. God believes in leadership. God delegates authority. Authority to serve the church, ministry to serve, and we don't do it lightly. So I'm going to ask you the following guys. Some are single, some are married, which is precedent in Scripture for that. Some are guys, some are ladies. We see Phoebe in Romans chapter 16, I think verse 2. She's a deaconess. Phoebe. So I wonder if those couples can come up, John and Carol Ledbetter, and Johnny and Simon, come and stand with us here, and then Pete and Ali and Chris. Now, many of them know, you know them from worship leading, because they've been worship leaders, band leaders. And it's just really recognizing even the ministry works they've already involved with, the administrative gifting that lies. Thank God that I don't have to work on the rotors. It would stress me and have to try and find people and work those systems out. But there's people that God's gifted. But we are not professionals. Every time I say Pete and the professionals, I want to stop saying that. Because brothers, we are not professionals, all of us here. And so I'm going to ask Tony and Joy, maybe Joy's going to come through now. Because we really want to trust for that they will know God's anointing as God appoints them to make ready a people for the Lord. And God knows all that which He's calling them to. Want to join us, love? So in a moment, we're going to lay hands on you guys and pray for you.
And you know each other.
Yeah, and I was actually going to ask someone to take a picture of these five, handsome and beautiful. Yeah. I mean, a man who's committed and courageous, Chris, and Johnny's walked a long road. And he's remained steadfast, and he loves the Lord. Loving God, loving people, going to make disciples. And just seeing you've gone through some storms, but you've kept on, keeping on. And that gives courage to us as a church. Just, yeah, and bless you. So I know there's many times where you've felt, oh, Lord, and He's come through for you guys. Again and again and again. You know, He's upholding you. He's going to keep you. And make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. And I trust for that. You guys are a blessing as you've opened your home and you continue to open your home. Yeah. And I've already mentioned our great administrative gift, but also as worship leading and every other aspect of works. Ministry of helps. Yeah, bless you, Pete.
I want to honor Pete for just the many hours that he serves this church unnoticed. Just fixing equipment and computer stuff that would blow other people's minds. He just quietly gets on and does a job. And a lot of what you see that happens just wouldn't happen without Pete.
And I believe God's begun to fan into flame again. Just the psalmist, this new songs of heaven, the creativity that He's going to breathe on. And those things that He's promised are going to come to fruition. You're going to begin to see them outworked. And it's just positioning yourself. And you are. You're on the right, you know. I just believe it's like this new day, this new season. And I'm excited. I am. Everyone knows Allison. Yeah. And the Ledbetters, they opened their home when we first arrived here. It was such a blessing. And they continue to open their home. And it's just in a real spiritual mom and dad to many in this room. And I know they don't like their trumpet, the fanfare. They don't like the fanfare. So we won't go into the fanfare. But I really just bless them. They've hosted Alpha in their home. They've helped lead that. And I'm just really encouraged. Also, acts of service. So they're already doing it. These guys are already doing it. And so I'm trusting for new vistas, new horizons, new opportunities, new expressions. Johnny's ministering on the streets, I think, this Saturday, end of the month. Or is it the following Saturday? This Saturday. Yeah. So if you want to join him on the streets, you don't have to preach. You can just go there and pray with him, support him, speak to him about it. Bless you. Anyone want to add anything? Otherwise, you want to lay hands on these guys? I know. You want to say something or you want to pray for them? Guys, you can extend your hand. You can bless them and pray for them. Can we do that while we lay hands on them? Yeah, if you guys want to come and pray for them, you want to just bless them, maybe share a word of encouragement with them or a scripture or prophetic word, let's do that.
to be upon him, an impartation of that wisdom from on high. I just trust that and the Spirit, more of your anointing and the power of the Spirit, that it will be a supernatural thing, more than just natural gifting, it will be supernatural. And I pray that he would see the grace that's upon his life, and he would see conscious enablement or divine enablement to do what, to do even more than this. Even abundantly in the area, we could do more to the cross. So I want to pray your blessing in the cross. I want to trust for that. And be anointed to all that which you call unto, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What I want to pray for is what I want to trust, Father, that this would be a significant watershed moment. God, you know the plan, you know the purpose, you know the future. You know, Father, even the fears that God took a Gideon, he took someone out of a place of feeling, despite your feeling. Where can I just, you made the same action, God. God saw something within, and I pray, God, that he would keep his eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of his faith. In Jesus' name, joy is set before you, and that he would, Father, lay hold of everything that you've taken hold of them for. Your anointing, I pray, anoint him for the task. Lord, let there be a new level of anointing, Lord, in his worship. May you come upon him at times where he's overwhelmed, where he's undone, where his heart softness and tenderness before him. He heals, he strengthens him. I'm looking for the right words, but I know that there's dealings of the heart. He'll not perform unto man, unto the approval of man. But he will know your unreserved, unconditional love and acceptance. Unreserved, unconditional acceptance. Father's favor. We would know that favor, not by virtue of anything that he's done, but because of being a son of a father pleaser. For who he is, not for what he's done. And I pray, God, every sense of having to achieve, perform, every sense of having to be something in others' eyes, let him be free to be who he
the picture of God raising up and releasing into works of ministry, and an army needs people to stand shoulder to shoulder. That's how we take ground. That's how we go forward. And I believe it's taking hold of that which God's going to take hold of us as a church, not just as individuals, and together as a team ministry. So I'm excited for what God's going to do in and through, with God's hand upon people and anointing us to tasks of ministry or works of ministry. Let's believe for that. Let's trust for that. Greater things are yet to come in this city, in this nation, and in the nations. We're gateway to the nations. So I trust many others will come through into leadership. It's my desire of my heart, because I know God's going to add. He is. He's building his church. He's adding to his church. And bless you. I was going to ask you to play the keys. Chris can play the keys. Go out with a song. Bless you guys. Yeah, thank you guys. It was a precious moment. I pray it's a watershed moment. I pray that's going to be something of taking territory. We're going to go out with a song in a moment.
Been ordered to stay.
Yeah, don't go. Can we stand together? It's something celebratory.